Okay, good afternoon, everybody. I guess I should wish everybody a happy Lag Bomer Sameach. The topic of the shiur today is the eternal relevance of Naomi's manipulation and Ruth's capitulation. And in a few minutes, I'll explain what I mean in the process of the shiur. And before I begin, though, I want to explain why is it that I've chosen to speak about Ruth when it's still Lag BaOmer and we still have Yom Yerushalayim. And in general, you don't find the idea of Shloshim Yom, 30 days before the Chag, in regard to Shavuos. Maybe we should. So I would like to just begin a way of introduction that we're right now in Sfiras HaOmer. And my father pointed out many, many years ago, sometime in the 60s, I think. And I just happened to know this because I happened to see a recording of a shiur that he gave in the 60s. We pointed out that the point of Sfiras HaOmer, and obviously I think everyone should understand this, is to prepare for Matan Torah. That's the point of Sfiras HaOmer. But he pointed out more so that the Avelis, the mourning that we do during Sfiras HaOmer, even though it's understood it's really for the death of Rabbi Akiva's students and the Crusades, but the underlying intention of the Chachamim who created this minhag, this custom, was in order to help people to focus on Matan Torah and not to get carried away by various forms of simcha of happiness. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Svarim that speak about the Avelis, Sfiras HaOmer, they don't speak about Avelis. They speak about the fact we should not be too marbe, have too much simcha. In other words, the message of minimizing the simcha somewhat. And why? In order to give us the proper focus to understand we have 49 days to prepare for Matan Torah. And the truth is, the Ramban says this in the very esoteric Ramban, last week's Parsha, for those living in Eretz Yisrael, Parshas Emor, I believe it's, I don't have it on the sheet, but I believe it's Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Vav, talking about Sukkot being 8 days, and 7 days, is Yimei HaTeva and Shabbos, and Yom HaShmini, Shmini Atzeres, is on somewhat very Lamaila Min HaTeva, very hard to understand, and we work towards that, and he says that Pesach is 7 days, but Shavuos is that Lamaila Min HaTeva, that's where we go above. And Sfiras HaOmer is really Chol HaMoed. What do you mean it's Chol HaMoed? Just like during on Sukkot we prepare for the last day, Shmini Atzeres, Sfiras HaOmer is a very long Chol HaMoed. Sfiras HaOmer, we have to prepare for Matan Torah, we have to prepare for Shavuos. And therefore, since we prepare for Shavuos, I don't think it's unreasonable to discuss Rus. Because obviously the reason why we read Rus on Shavuos is there are underlying meanings about Matan Torah. And all the Mephorshim tried to explain what is the connection to Rus and Matan Torah. As a matter of fact, the source of reading the Megillus on the various holidays, whether it's Kohelis on Sukkot or Shira Shirim on Pesach or Rus on Shavuos, the source is from Masechet Sofer from Perek Yudalid, and there the Masechet Sofer mentions one custom to reach Rus after Shavuos, and one custom is to read Rus on the Motzei Shabbat before Shavuos. So really, according to that custom, we read Rus in order to prepare for Shavuos. So if that's the idea of Rus, I think it makes a lot of sense to really start discussing Rus now. What can we get out of Megillus Rus during Sfiras HaOmer? Now, on the point of the title of Naomi's manipulation and Rus's capitulation, I want to explain that first also in terms of the first question, the main question of this year. So a number of years ago, I was thinking about the Chamesh Megillot, the five Megillot, and I seem to realize, that really, I don't know if we put too much thought into it, but the Chamesh Megillot, if you at least learn on a simple level, aren't so happy. Start with Shir HaShirim. What's Shir HaShirim about? Shir HaShirim is a story of two people who, obviously very symbolic, who are very much attracted to each other. I would talk about the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael, and we're trying to find each other, and then Dodi, my beloved, is knocking on the door, and I'm get up and I get up and I'm looking in the streets for him. It's very sad. And they really have to try to understand on a deep level what's going on. And the truth is, from the perspective of a Koheleth, I always was never happy with it. I always found Koheleth to be very depressing. Echa, okay, so the second to last passing guy said, Echa is very nice, a beautiful vision, but we have the Korban. A Megillas Esther, which I never really thought about Megillas Esther, so I would just tell you, Megillas Esther is really how a Jew can thrive in Chutz Laaretz, Megillas Esther, which Baruch Hashem, we survived from the perspective of a Jew aspiring to live in Eretz Yisrael. Yes, it has its, downside. But Mitzvah Hashem, that's true also. But I think, the main thing there Gemara speaks about. But the main thing that the Jew was able to thrive in Chutz Laaretz. I don't want to get too deep into it. And that's something about Megillas Rus. And all of a sudden, it hit me that Megillas Rus. If you look at Megillas Rus, is a very sad story. Okay, you talk about a family leaving Eretz Yisrael. A husband, a wife, two children. The husband dies. They leave. They're very wealthy. Why they leave is not the point of the shir. And they come to Moab. And by the way, coming to Moab, you have to understand, it seems, it would be like a Jew would decide to leave Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. To go live in Gaza. And not because he's part of, Gush Emunim. Because he wants to live, he wants to get away from Eretz Yisrael or maybe some other Arab country. And there the husband dies. And then the two sons intermarry. And then they die without children. And here you have Naomi, the matriarch of the family who is left penniless and she wants to go back to Eretz Yisrael. And her two daughter-in-laws want to go with her. And they come to Eretz Yisrael, the two daughters, they don't come. And she's able to convince one to return to her father's house. And Ruth follows her. And they come, and it seems, come back penniless. It seems they're ignored. Ruth is a Gioris, a Moabite convert. People might look down upon them. And really no one's taking care of them. And all of a sudden we see that Naomi, and this is part of what's going on, has to manipulate what's going on in order to take care of Ruth. And then what happens at the end of the story? So Baruch Hashem, finally Boaz decides to marry her. According to Chazal, they married one day. Say Chazal. Then Boaz dies. Ruth becomes pregnant. She has a baby. And then if you look at source number 5, I'm sorry, I'm going a little bit out of order. Just to begin, and this will hit me. Batikach Naomi Yisayeled Batishiseyu Becheka Batilo Lo Menes. What happens? Ruth has this baby. And who takes the baby? Naomi. And a miracle happens. Naomi is able to be a nursemaid for her. But not you, lad ben Larus. Rus is not in the picture anymore. Rus has the baby, and Rus is out of the picture. Naomi, a son is born to Naomi. And they called him Oveh, who have Yishai, have David. And that's it. So we don't say anything about Rus. I said, how tragic is this? What's happening here? Ruth gives up a baby? And even though the Gemara of Avasra points out, that Shlomo HaMelech had a seat next to his throne for Ruth, is it taken literally? Not literally. If it was taken literally, boy, Ruth was really Zocha Tarichas Yomim. But what happened? Someone else raised her baby? And I realized the story from beginning to end sounds very tragic. And because of that, I started to think about the story. And just to understand that that was, in a certain sense, it seems Naomi, as opposed to Esther, who in the middle of Megillah started calling the shots, here Naomi is calling the shots and Ruth listens to everything Naomi says. And that's the point of the title, and I want to try to explain it and try to somehow explain how it's relevant to us today. So we look at source number 1, Ruth Perigimel, Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk Hey, Pasuk Vav, all these Pasukim, Pasuk Yudalet. So we know the whole story. Rus is trying to be able to acquire the Matnos Aniyim, the presents that go to the poor people. There's Peah, there's Leket, various things she would be Zochetu, so she ends up, being a daughter of a princess, going into the fields acting like a pauper. And Boaz is very nice to her. And finally, Naomi says enough. We have to arrange for your future. And you're going to listen to everything I say. And what does Naomi tell Ruth? I have to tell you. If I were to hear such a story today happening in the year 2018, I would be shocked. Such a thing goes on? She says, they're not married. And what happens? He says, and we'll see, even Ruth herself felt very uncomfortable with Naomi's direct instructions. You should bathe yourself, anoint yourself, put beautiful clothes on, the Uratat HaGoren, and you should go down to the grainer, the threshing floor where Boaz is going to be. He says, Al tivadi li'ish, and don't let anybody know. Yeah, you're sort of going to be incognito. Sounds a little shady. Ad kaloso lecho v'lishtos. He says, and when he lies down, the adatas ha'makom, you'll know a place where he lies down. Uvasa v'gilisa margalosa. You should go uncover his legs. V'shachafta v'hu yigad l'chashasum. And you lie down next to him. He says, v'tomri aleha. And this was Naomi's instructions. And as uncomfortable as Ruth felt, Ruth says, v'tomri aleha kosho t'yotomri alai. Now, if you think that Ruth didn't feel uncomfortable, if you look at Pasuk Vav, so Pasuk Vav, it says, Vateir da Goren. Ruth went down to the Goren, Vatashchol asher tisa chamosa. She did everything that her mother-in-law commanded her. Look at source number two, Rashi. So Rashi points out there's something inconsistent going on here. He amrala, she said to him, Barachasta, Besachta, Besamtisim, Losaya, Chalaya, Chalaya, you'll put your clothes on, and then go down to the Goren. Ruth said, to Naomi said to Ruth, prepare yourself, make yourself look beautiful, and then go down to the threshing floor. And she didn't do this. Ella Amra, Im Eireid Kani Mekushetes. If someone sees me when I'm all dressed up, walking down to the Goren, the person who sees me will say, I am a Zona. Lefichach Yorda Betchila HaGoren. So she went down to the Goren first. See, even Ruth herself felt very uncomfortable with Naomi's direct instructions. I can't dress like that. I can't go down like that. So she took her clothes with her. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like, you know, sometimes when on a certain level, when a soldier, you know, who's in combat, when he's going to base, come back from base, has to wear his madim. And sometimes they feel uncomfortable, whatever, madim are uncomfortable, so they put their clothes in their knapsack and they get to a gas station. I did that this morning. One of my sons was telling me, he decided he has to wear his madim from the gas station near the base. So I took him to catch transportation. He had his madim in his knapsack, and at the base he'll put on his madim. And Ruth took her stuff in her knapsack and she changed. She says, what were the instructions Naomi gave her? So that's question number one. Question number two, it seems from the psukim that there was yichud going on, which is not a problem, by the way. It seems there was yichud going on. Okay, why isn't the problem? Because unless you're miyachid of a married lady, the issur of yichud is only the rabbanon. Okay, and that din the rabbanon was not enacted yet. It came only in the time of David HaMelech. So that being said, he says, and you look at source number three, the Rambam says, Kishira Maise Amnon v'Tamar, when the whole Maise of Amnon, the son of David HaMelech, Tamar, it's a whole question how that happened, but a daughter, but it was through Eshes Yevashtoar, and something terrible happened, and because they're alone in the room, Gazar David Bezdino al Yichud Penuya. So David and his bezdin said, you can't have yichud of a pnuya, a man of an unmarried lady. The aval kish einar erev v'chlal yichud arayusu. They said it's similar to Torah law of yichud. However, even though it wasn't usher yet, some still, it, just because it's not usher, didn't it seem very nice, you know, going out at night, hanging out in a room where no one's around? And then, if you want to say, okay, man, maybe something up. But lying next to him? And the truth is, I have to tell you, that, you know, it definitely sounds like there was she was next to each other. It could be they were touching. He says, right next to the legs. So obviously now, if you look, so you can ask the question. You can say that, well, you know, touching kiruv basar between a male and a female when the female is a nida is asur midiraisa. The fact is that Chazal say, it points out that when it says that Rus washed herself, she went to mikvah, she wasn't a nida, and but the fact is, still, the whole thing doesn't seem very appropriate. And that when I thought about it, I think, like, what was Naomi telling Rus? As we see, and Rus herself is very uncomfortable with that. So that's one question. A second question, if you look at it, I'll just repeat the question in source number 5, trying to understand the end of Perek Dalid, that a baby is born to Rus, and that's it. We don't hear about Rus anymore. Just Naomi, Vatichach Naomi is a yeled, she put her in a basim, and she nursed her, and everyone said, a ben is born, a son is born to Naomi, not to Rus, to Naomi, and they called her Oved. So that's the stuff we understand. Like, why is that? It's clear in the Psukim. Why is it that it seems that Naomi is the one who's raising the baby, and not Rus? That's the second question. A third, if you look at the very end of the Megillah, then the Megillah says, first it says that he was Oved, and Oved was the father of Yishai, and Yishai was the father of David. Okay, and then the Megillah goes through. And these are the generations of Peretz. Peretz, who we know was the son of Yehuda, from there came the Malchus. Peretz gave birth to Chetzron. Chetzron gave birth to Ram. Ram gave birth to Aminadav. Aminadav gave birth to Nachshon. Nachshon gave birth to Salma. Salma gave birth to Boaz. Boaz gave birth to Oved. And again, we go through again. And Oved, like we already said, that once we got to Boaz, we know what's happening. Boaz gave birth to Oved. So why does the Navi, the Megillah repeat itself and go through genealogy again? That, by the way, is not my question. That's the question of the Al-Sheikh. In source number 12, the Al-Sheikh asks that question. He says, the Al-Sheikh asks, why is it that it mentions the names of the generations of Peretz? It should have said Boaz and Tovid was enough. And also, that we already know, you know, at the end we know, we already know about Yishai and David, so we have to try to go ahead and explain. He said, we have to go ahead and try and explain, you know, why we repeat the genealogy, the Yichus. If you look at source number six of Maran Sanhedrin, something I pointed out, that the end of the Megillah is very strange. Now the Megillah says that a Ben was born to Rus, to Naomi, I mean, so the Chanina Omer. The neighbor said, a son was born to Naomi. And then Naomi gave birth to the baby. She says, Elo Rus Yolda. But Rus went ahead and gave birth to the baby. Elo Rus Yolda, but Naomi Gidla. So Rus gave birth, and Naomi raised. Lefichach Nikra Lashma. Because of this, it was called on her name, because Rus went ahead and because Naomi went ahead and raised him. Okay, so before I go on, I just want to point out that this medrash, which just underscores what happened, actually has halachic significance. I'll tell you a story just before we move on, a side point. Sounds like a very strange story, but you know, strange things happen, I have to tell you. My father told me the story when he was a Rav in Moriah on the west side. It was there was a person in his shul who had adopted a child. Okay, how did he come to adopt a child? It's a very difficult story to tell because it's just, but I'm going to tell the story because I think at halach lamaisa it's important to understand what happened. So it seemed it was somebody, this person who adopted a child was very wealthy. We'll see why it's relevant. And there was a certain person on the west side who was not wealthy. That's an understatement. He was probably, he had a very difficult time making a living. And he had a lot of children. And I don't know how this happened. And this person was wealthy, as I understand it, had very few children, have any children. And a deal was made. This wealthy person gave a lot of money to the very poor person. And the poor person gave one of his children to raise. Very strange story. This is before my father got there. Anyways, this boy, who was raised in a very nice house, his adopting parents took care of him, actually did very well in school, and after high school, he went to yeshiva. He ended up in Lakewood, and he ended up becoming one of the best boys in Lakewood. Now, today, I mean, I don't live in America anymore, but when I was living in America, the best boy in Lakewood, imagine you're the best, there are 1,000 best boys. But we're talking about this, we're talking about in the late 50s, early 60s, when Byron Cutler was still alive. So, at that point, the boy, Baruch Hashem, got engaged. He wanted to get married, and it was Machlokes and the two fathers, who should have the schus of walking this boy down to the chuppah? Who's had this course? The adopted father or the natural father? And my father, I went to my father as a din Torah, and my father paskind based on this chazal and other chazals. He says that what? That since Naomi raised the child, it's called Naomi's name, so therefore what's important in this case is who raised the child. So obviously, as usually happens in Torah, the natural father got very upset and said, I don't accept it. And my father said, listen, he said, I'm not going to argue with you. This is my psak. If you want, I give you the rishus, the right to appeal this decision. Okay, great. And my father said, just a second. He says, hold on a second. You can't go ahead and appeal just any rav. You have to appeal to a rav that I feel is greater than myself. So who can I go to? Now the boy learns in Lakewood, go to a Baron Cutler. They went to Rabbi Aaron Cutler, and Rabbi Aaron Cutler confirmed my father's decision. So it's all over Chazal. Someone's megadol a child, it's ki'ilu they raised them, and therefore, so that she just know this is not just a medrash, a nice pasuk. This actually had a lot of significance. Anyway, we have to understand. So fine, I agree. So why is it though that Rus gave over the baby to Naomi? Naomi wasn't married. Naomi was not a young lady. And by the way, according to Chazal, Rus was definitely Zochet to Arichas Yomim. So even if she wasn't really Zochet to live to the time of Shlomo, we have to understand the Chagmara. But why does she give? Why is that Naomi raised the child? Okay, so those are the three questions. Before I get to the answer, I would just like. There's another Medrash Chazal. If you look at source number 9, so in Yalchut Shimoni, when Naomi told Rus to go down to the Goren and instruct her in the way that she did, so it seems, and I'll explain why. As we saw, Rus was very unhappy. Which, be honest with you, if I was Rus, I'd be unhappy also. So Chazal said, what happened? So when she said to her mother-in-law, I don't understand. How can you force me to do this? Tell me to do this. Source number 9, Vyaradat HaGoren, Yalkut Shimoni says, Vyaradati Ksib, it's written Vyaradati. Amrula, Naomi says to her, don't worry. Zichuti Tered Imach, my Zchus will go down with you. Let's try to understand what's going on. So in order to understand this, I want to look at a very long Medrash Rabbah. In Bamidbar Rabbah, this is actually Parsha Dalid. It's a very long, I think it's Simchaf Dalet, I forgot. It's a very, very long, it's pages and pages in the Medrash HaMavur. And here, the Gemara, the Medrash is discussing what happened when David HaMelech brought the Aron HaKodesh to Yerushalayim. And as we know, David HaMelech danced a lot. And as we know that he danced, and as we know, as everyone knows, that his wife Michal was very upset at him. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the Medrash, what happened is, she actually didn't let him into the house. She wanted to rip into him, give him mussar, like many good wives do. Okay, but this is David HaMelech. And the Gemara says, if you look at source number 7, and I'll skip around, by Yashub David Levarach Hezbeso, Velo Hinach Lechanos Levayas. He says, she did not let him into the house. El Yotza Lechutz Vayis Mekath V'Dvarim. She came outside and she really was ripping into him. But Tomar, she said, Ma'nich Barayom Melech Yisrael, how honorable are you? In a very cynical way. Asher nigla hayom le'emos, that you revealed yourself in front of the maidservants. She actually referred to regular Jewish girls as maidservants. Agadav mikanach lomeid. What does that mean? So when he was jumping up and down, the Medrash says, remember, in those days they didn't wear pants, they wore gowns. So he actually picked up his gown to jump up and down. I'm sure he didn't pick it up that high, but he revealed his feet. He revealed the bottom of his feet. So he says, he says, now you reveal that you're a king. And if you look at 1, 2, 3, the fourth line, halavai b'tzniut, I wish, he says, I wish you had tzniut. And she says a few more lines down, hayom nikla kvodo shel beis abba. Now people understand the dignity of my father's house, Shaul's house. And to understand that Shmichal, basically, I think, was giving the impression, I come from Melech, this is now Melech Ech. And remember, Shaul Melech was not a Melech for that long. But she said, listen, I come from a Melech. Halavai. That you had the tzniyas of my father. And what was she talking about? He says, it goes on. And she says, he says, you know what you acted like? She says, Harek Shabarekim. Those are the words she used. You act like the empty of the empty. Ze'ar chisas, like a clown. She'ain reikam emenem. There's no one emptier than that. That's how you acted. He says, this is how David, he says, and she says, and let's look, what's between you and my base Abba? So then, she says, kol base Avi, everyone in my father's house, it's true. Hayitznuim mekadoshim. They were tznuim and kadoshim. We know when David HaMelech went into the cave and he could have basically killed Shaul HaMelech because he was relieving himself, and goes through exactly what he did. I don't have to go through, you know, the every step, but he was very careful not to reveal himself in any way. And as a matter of fact, David HaMelech said to the servants, I can't kill such a kadosh. Okay. That's what he said. Good point. So what happened? She says, and at the end. So if you look at the end, He says, and my father was so tsunua, and you reveal yourself like this? How can it be? So David HaMelech answered and responded, V'chilif ne melech vasar v'dam, this is four lines from that, Sechachti, when I was performing for melech vasar v'dam, V'lolif ne melech malchi amlochem sechachti, it wasn't before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ashebach arbi me'evicha, so you can say whatever you want. But obviously, yes, I learned tznius from your father. But who in the end was chosen? I was chosen, David HaMelech said. Asher bach mikol beiso. He said, v'ilu ha'yavicha tzadik yoser mimeni, and if your father is more righteous than me, ha'yelekim bocher biu posel v'esavicha, would he choose me and not your father's house? He says, and your father was a melech al Yisrael bavad. I'm a nugget on Yisrael and Yehuda, all the Jews, he says. And he goes on, and it's not in the Medrash, and he says to her, he says, based on Vicha, they were of the Hashem, but their tznius was based on Kavod Atzmon, their own Kavod, and Menichem Kavod Shemayim. Vani, I also have tznius, but I leave Kavod Atzmi for Kavod Shemayim. And the Medrash goes on and says, based on the Pasuk, it's not here, that as we know, Michal was told she wouldn't have a child until the day she died. Because of this. So, we have to try on some level to understand this Medrash. And with this, I think we can really go ahead and we really can maybe understand what Rus is about. So, you know, Tznius, no question, as Michal said, is very important. If you look at source number 8, Amar Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, when the Jewish people sinned the ego, he says, why are you so angry at Am Yisrael for the ego? He says, it's true, the Jews were in Mitzrayim and learned certain things, but they weren't putzen by riots like they weren't involved in incest and all terrible things. Gan Na'ul, they were a closed garden. He says, and when they went out to Mitzrayim, every Jew was tsanua v'soch ahalo. Reuven would not look at the wife of Shimon, and Shimon would not look at the wife of Reuven. Everyone in their tent was tsanua. And even when there were 60,000 in Midbar, they were tsanuim, and that's a Bilam saw. So we see the midah of tznius is so important.
I have to tell you that it's interesting that when it comes to tznias sometimes, yeah, there's a Shulchan Aruch, but there's some things that are given over. I'll tell you, I don't want to say whose name it was, but one time, I had to call up a friend of mine. I must have been 22, 23. I don't even remember how old I was. But most of my friends were my father's Talmidim, and he happened to be a friend that was married. And I called up, and his wife answered the phone, and I said hello, and I said her name. And she said, I want to speak to him, he's not home. So I hung up the phone, my father was sitting there, and my father said to me, you called a married woman by her first name? Okay, I have to tell you, I was raised very properly. I never referred to my parents' friends by their first name, never. Very English, I guess. And I tried to machanach my kids the same thing. It's not so simple. But I said to my father, I said, I don't understand, Abba. Like, he's my friend. And it's not like, you know, they're 10 years older than me even. And my father said to me, never mind. He says, it's not nice to call a married lady by first name. And you should know that my father, when he spoke to any married lady, if I remember correctly, would never refer to them by their first name. Okay? I have to ask, my father would call you by your first name? I don't think so. Mrs. Abramoff, imagine, his own mechutin. Never. Never. He says, okay, so I'm not recommending that. I can't even say I do it because as a rabbi b'shul, it'd be very difficult and very insulting. I do refer to people who are older than me but not by the first name. But, okay, and I'm not saying it's the halacha. It's a certain minhag my father brought over. The minhag of tznias is very important. And in other words, how a Jew acts, what a Jew does, there are certain things that are not necessarily written in the Shulchan Aruch. It's passed down from generation to generation to generation. That's the idea. Even besides the midat tznias, you know. And I think, I'm not necessarily sure, but I think that, you know, and today, Baruch Hashem, today, if someone has not been raised in a firm house, someone is a convert, there are many ways to learn. There are tutors and there are classes and there are books that deal with everything. But when Rus converted, what was out there? And the truth is, nobody was even helping her except for Naomi. And it could be that Rus all the time was wondering, what do I do? And you want to know why it seems like Naomi manipulated her? It's not manipulation. It is because she did not know what to do. She did not know how to act. And therefore, it's possible that when it says that Naomi raised the baby, of course Rus was involved. But Rus said to her mother-in-law, I have a baby here, and how am I going to teach him? Yeah, I'll send him to a cheder. But to me, to teach what it means to be a Jew in every action, I don't know. I'm missing that Mesorah. And therefore, Rus was involved. Of course he was involved. Rus sat maybe next to Shlomo HaMelech or something symbolic. But Rus needed Naomi because there are certain things that if you're not raised in a Jewish house or not taught what's done in a Jewish house, you're going to miss out upon. And that's why I think that Rus went ahead and gave the baby to Naomi. And I think, by the way, and then we'll come back to what happened in Perek Gimel, I think that that's the idea why it is that the Pusik in Rus Perek Dalet repeat, and the Perek Dalet, it says, have the baby. His name was Oved. Oved was the father of Yishai, the grandfather of David. And then it goes through the whole Yichus from Peretz. You know what it's telling us? This baby, even though it came from Rus, even though it came from Moabite, had the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael. What does the Mesorah mean? Besides the Torah, knowing all the halachas written in the Torah, Torah Shebaal Peh, David HaMelech was given what it means to be a Jew. What it means to live as a Jew. I hope that I'll come back to that in a second or a little bit later. And that's the end of Rus. And I'm thinking, I'll be honest, I really want to say this at the end, but I'll repeat at the end. You know, one of the questions we everyone asks, why do you read Rus on Shavuos? It's the harvest. Shavuos is the harvest. Rus was a convert. So we're all called convert. What's the lesson? If you look at the second to last Mara Makom at the end. So I found this once. He quotes from Elio Akiva Rabinovitz. Okay, he said something very, very nice, but I want to take it a step further. He says, you know what happened? He says, you know, when Boaz wanted to marry Ruth, they said, you know, all of a sudden they asked her, you can't marry Ruth. Ruth is a Moabite, right? He said, no. I have a Mesorah, you know, it's Moabite below Moabis. Okay, so they sat down, they decided he's right, and that was it. Torah Shabbat Be'ah. Rus teaches us that Torah Shabbat cannot be understood by itself, and that is so important for Shavuos. I want to take it a step further. You know what Rus teaches us? Rus teaches us that besides the halachas, besides the Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat Be'ah, the anhagas of Klal Yisrael are very important. Minig Yisrael Din. And when I say Minig Yisrael Din, I don't mean that the minig of lighting a bonfire on Lag Bar. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about minhagim of wearing a kippah, which is a din. I'm talking a minig Yisrael of how a Jew acts, how a Jew behaves. That is extremely, extremely important. That's extremely, extremely important. I once heard from my father Yom Kippur, without getting into the detail of the story, so I think I have to. There's a Gemara that says, you know, that Chazal tell us Makom Shabal Tshuva Omed Ein Tzadik Yachol Lamed Befanav. Right? What it means is that the Baal Tshuva reaches the highest levels. My father said that's true, but he says sometimes you have a Baal Tshuva who comes in and he keeps all the mitzvos, but he doesn't understand what it means to be a Jew sometimes. And he said that, I'm not getting into the exact details, the story of a certain Baal Tshuva who terrible, he hit his wife, right? Father said, hey, this does not go on in the world of Torah. He says, and the truth is, you're not going to find it mentioned because who would think of such a thing? He says, become a Baal Tshuva means not just Torah mitzvahs, understand what it means to be a Jew, Dan Haga, what it means to be a Jew. Hopefully I'll try to explain some ideas about this. Now, I think that's why we have to read Rus, because Rus mentioned that. She was concerned about that. And that's a very important component of Shavuos. So now, Rus Perek Gimel, which is actually quite difficult. So Rus Perek Gimel, so what was going on here? So, Rus had to get married. So Rus had to get married. So Naomi tests Rus, have this plan. And Rus is uncomfortable with it. Naomi said to Rus, you know what? It's not against the halacha. And you're right. You really shouldn't act this way in general. But this is what we're going to call for this reason. To build a family. And it's not against halacha. Maybe people don't do this. I'm going to allow you to do this once. If you look at the last source in the page, which I'm not going to read now because I printed it off my computer and it didn't appear the way it is, Rabbi Venera Megillas Rus Paragimel, he says what happened in Paragimel was a harasha. What does a harasha mean? If something is against halacha, there's no harasha, right? You can't. A lady can't say, I know you can do it. But what happened was that Rus, that it wasn't against the halacha. Against the halacha, but it just didn't seem right. And Rus said, Naomi said to Rus, you're doing L'shem Shemayim? It's okay. How do I know? I know. I have a mesorah. When things should be done, when things shouldn't be done. Exactly the same as David HaMelech. When Michal said, David HaMelech, you're the king. How do you act this way? And Rus and David HaMelech said, you know what? What you think, because your father knew better. There are sometimes that you have to go ahead and you have to act a little bit differently. Not against halacha, but sometimes a little differently. I have to tell you. Okay, and it's actually, you know, and I learned this. You know, sometimes you say, you know, a Rav, a Rosh Hashiva, sometimes doesn't have to be mafid on his Rabbanis and his Hanigas of Rosh Hashiva. Very funny, it happened this year. So, I enjoy Simchas Torah, I have to tell you, okay? I enjoy Simchas Torah, I enjoy dancing. You know, living in Eretz Yisrael, we make sure that we finish davening around Zman Minchas, we daven Minchas, we spend the day in the Suda also. And I enjoy when the kids dance. So in my shul, which I'm sure many shuls, So, you know, when we sing Simcha Li'aretzecha, I'm not going to demonstrate now, it's not Simcha's Torah. The kids hit the floor. Okay? Simcha Li'aretzecha, they hit the floor, they bang on the floor, and then it gets fast, the slow part, they jump up and down. So, this year, I don't know what caused me to do this. I hit the floor. Okay? Now, I have to tell you, next night, I actually felt pretty sore about it, because, you know, it's very nice. I was 53 years old. You know, I felt pretty 54. I felt pretty sore. But you know, a certain thing to look and then I did it twice the next day. So I think the first time I did it, I was the only adult hit the floor. The second time, I made an announcement. I think three adults hit the floor, and then the third time, 10 adults hit the floor with me. But the fact of the matter is that sometimes, no, obviously, in general, I wouldn't do that. But a person has to know, you know, certain things are given over with a certain mesorah. And that's what David HaMelech said to his wife, Michal. And David HaMelech said, and this is very sad, when David HaMelech said to Michal, you're not going to have a child till the day you die. Is anything as tragic as that? It's tragic. I'm not even going to get into it. But to understand, I can't understand. But the message is that if you don't understand what a mesorah is, if you don't understand that sometimes, you know, you have to get away from your cupboard a little bit, how can you raise a child? And that is what Rus wanted to learn. And that is why Rus went ahead and she said to Naomi, you know, Naomi, you know everything. You know what is expected. And you know when you can make an exception. Please, she said, take the baby. Raise the baby. He says, if you go ahead and look, so, and I think, and that's the idea, that what happened when Rus said to Naomi in Perek Aleph Pasuk Tzayin, source number 16, Vatomer Rus al tifki bi la'azvech, don't push me to leave you, l'shum rechech, where you go, I will go, where you sleep, I will sleep, amcha ami, v'lakayach alokai. She was saying, give me everything, the halachas, the Torah, the anhagas, the customs, whatever I'm supposed to act, I want to learn law from it, that's what Rus wanted. And this is such an important part of being a Jew. You know, there's a Gemara Maseches Pesachim, that's one of my base. Source number 13 tells that B'nai Baishan, people from a city called Baishan, had a custom that they wouldn't go from Tzur to Sidon on Erev Shabbos. That was a problem because he had to do business. He says so people from Baishan, I'm sorry, it's a family Baishan, so they wouldn't go Tzur to Sidon. So they came before Rabbi Yochanan and they said, Avosav, our forefathers didn't have to do business on Friday. They were wealthy. But we need to do business. We need to travel. And we're fine, I'll come back. It says, your forefathers already accepted this, your ancestors, one generation, two generations. And therefore, Shema bini Musa Ravicha vi'alti tosh Torah Semecha. And you have to realize, you should know, it's not so simple to change hanhagas, to change customs. Source number 14, this is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. I don't have the article, but I saw this. I think I was 22 years old. It was Rav Schechter wrote an article about this. When they started the whole idea of women's minyanim, he wrote an article. My father said to me, this is an excellent article. My father never had me read articles. I learned Gemara. He said, read this article. Says what? The point is, forget everything else. Forget the halacha shailas. There's a certain custom. We have to understand the custom. Quoted number 14, the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Hagidli Shava Nafshi. I ask you, one who I love, my soul loves. No, it's Kadosh Baruch Hu. Echa tirbat b'tzarayim. Where should I go to pasture in the afternoon when the sun is very strong? When maybe their influence that might overcome me? What should I do? Why should I be influenced by the flocks of your friends, the impressions of time? So Kadosh Baruch Hu answers the pasuk, says, "In lo teidi lacha yach banashim." You don't know. See lach v'kvei hatzon. Go off where the sheep are going. Go in their footsteps. Follow the paths of the previous generations. That is the idea. You know, my father used to always say, you know, Shema b'ni Musar Avicha, it's quoted there, the Alti Tos Torah Simecha. He says, if you look in Mishlei Perek Vav, source number 16, the second, third line. And my father, I don't know who quoted, he asked the question, he says, it's very strange. Who's supposed to teach a child Torah? The father. So why is it called Mitzvah Savicha and Torah Simecha? My father explained, because he's compared it to a mountain. He says, he quoted somebody, I think. A mother takes the child just up to the peak, and the father takes the child onto the peak. Torah Simecha. Not necessarily the halachas. It's the acting, what it means to be a Jew. How many times do we learn, we sit by our mothers by the table and they teach us, and they inspire us and they influence us. And that's in reality what Naomi, what Ruth was missing. And I think that's essentially the message. That's the message of Megillas Ruth, the message of Matan Torah. You know, I think I mentioned before, I heard this from my mother once. Again, I'm not going to explain every detail about this, but she once said that, you know, as I said, mothers teach you about these things. She once said, you know, Jewish customs are so wonderful. What did she talk about? First she spoke about, and by the way, it's easier to understand this in Chicago, Illinois, between the months of November through March or April. She says, could you imagine, you come home on a cold day, on a cold Shabbos, and you have a hot cholent. You love Shabbos. That cholent, forget about how it tastes. Just having something hot, it's unbelievable. And she spoke about, you know, actually about Lag BaOmer. Okay, so the custom in America, okay, I'm not sure what the custom is today in America, but the custom in America on Lag BaOmer, as I think was the custom in Europe, by the way, for probably a long time, was on Lag BaOmer to go out into the fields to see nature. Here the customs destroy nature. But in America, the custom was is to appreciate nature, to enjoy it. Today I understand, so when I was in elementary school, we used to go to the park, just play in the park. Today I understand they go to amusement parks, they go here, they go there. You know, something simple, you play in the park, you used to go on a hike, just go boating. She said, the spring is here, summer, give you a chance to enjoy the outdoors. And she went through and through every single thing. Okay, yes, we might not like the idea of Davelis and Tisha B'Av, but there's something very special about it. And I'll say something else, all right? Again, you know, especially here in Eretz Yisrael, there's all this discussions about, you know, Kitnius, how difficult Kitnius is. First of all, before I say anything, I'll tell you, I don't find it so difficult not to eat rice for 8 days. It's not the most difficult thing in Judaism. Okay, there are definitely more difficult things that we'll not get into. Okay. Now, obviously, there definitely are challenges, and this is not a halachic shaila. And you know, there are minhagi Yisrael that change over the course of generations. There's no question about that. For example, Bahab has definitely changed on the way to changing. You know, firstborns fasting on the Erev Pesach. They don't fast anymore. They go to a siyum. But you know what? To me, Pesach means not even kidneys. What can I tell you? That's Pesach. And you know, and this year, you know, certain rabbanim came out and said that certain rice cakes are okay. People ask me, I said, I don't know. He says, rice cakes on Pesach? It wouldn't seem like Pesach to me, right? So what's the idea? Back in the halachic, I think that is, yeah, and Simchas Torah. What do they say? Yes, the idea of Simchas Torah is mismeach the Torah. I'm sorry to say that. I know I'm very into it, so I'm prejudiced. But sometimes a person who would go and it's a minig that's developed for some reason, and I believe personally I get so much out of it, and some people can't. But for people who want to daven, people, you know, on Simchas Torah night, as soon as before Akafas start, they leave. And Simchas Torah morning, they want to have like 10 minute Akafas. I'm not sure. We're supposed to learn daven Melech. Okay. Again, I'm not condemning anybody. Everyone knows what's best for them. But minhage klal yisrael hanhagas, and in the house also, what it means, you know, in terms of other hanhagas, in terms of tznius, and how we speak, and we don't scream. And I remember my father used to tell me, he says, you're not supposed to go ahead and you're not supposed to eat nor shit around while you're walking. It's a Gemara. That's what it means to be a Jew. So my father said, yes. He says, even eating an ice cream cone, even drinking a can of Coke. And my father said, whether I do everything he says or not, I don't want to discuss that. Okay, I'm embarrassed. But I'm saying, I certainly would not walk in the street eating a sandwich. That's what it means, you know, to be, I'm hakus of being a Jew. And I think that that's really the story of Rus. Naomi's manipulation, because she understood what it means to act like a Jew besides the Torah. And Rus didn't understand, and therefore Rus allowed herself to be manipulated. And why is it relevant to us? Because we have to also understand. And when without getting into specifics, because as I said, certain things change over generations. But we have to also understand that it's not just important, the halachas, the Torah Shabbasav, the Torah Shemoteh, but part of that is on hagas, the customs, how we act, what we do, what we sing. There's certain things that are very special. You know, I remember, just to finish off, that one of the holidays, my wife was making stuffed cabbage before one of the holidays. I'm not even sure which holiday is supposed to have stuffed cabbage. Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, and Chodesh Tishrei. And one of the ladies comes into her apartment. She knocks at the door. She says, "Oh," she said, "I smell stuffed cabbage. It reminds me of my grandmother's house." Right? What can I say? Just something special about stuffed cabbage. Sounds crazy. Another thing also, there is an haga, you know, there's an haga, Krepel Chaner of Yom Kippur, there's an haga of being a Jew. But it gets much, much more significant than that. I'm trying to be a little humorous. But, you know, and that's what we have to understand. We have to understand, that's the point of Rus, the point of Shavuos, is to understand how beautiful is Torah Shebichsav, how beautiful is Torah Shebaalpeh, and how beautiful is the Mesorah that is handed down to from our forefathers, our ancestors, and that is what why Rus gave over a baby to Naomi, because she wanted Naomi to teach that to the baby, and Rus recognized that this Mesorah came straight from Peretz, from Yaakov Avinu, from Avram Avinu, and we should all be zocha to know Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaalpeh, and know the hanhaga, the custom of what it means to be a Jew. Have a wonderful, everyone should have a wonderful Chag, and the rest of Sefiras Omer should be through time to prepare ourselves.